Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you Tuesday, June the 8th, 2021, 18 minutes past the hour here, WWGH radio time, and we are back up on the air. A matter of fact, we were back up on the air as of about 6:30 last night, which was good. The internet was out yesterday for a good portion of the day, but it was restored last night about 6:30 p.m., so we are back up on the air this morning. So good to be with you again in that way. Hope everything's sounding good. Give us a call if you have anything to say, 740-383-9944. Now, we do have the Zumbeezy Bay passes won by Lee Dominey last Friday during our donut trivia contest. So, Lee, your Zumbeezy Bay passes are here on the table next to the big desk in the main room. They have your name on them, so anytime you're able to come over and get those between 4 and 5 this week, 4 and 5 today, or 4 and 5 tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow, Wednesday, you can come between 10 and 1 and pick those up, or tomorrow between 4 and 5, or today between 4 and 5. But they are here, the Zumbeezy Bay passes. All right, let's see. What else is to talk about? Well, has anybody noticed, you know, sometimes timing is just right. We had our internet outage yesterday, which caused us not to be over the air yesterday morning for a good portion of the day yesterday. But did anybody notice that there is an internet outage this morning that is affecting Spotify and CNN and all kinds of sources? A huge internet outage. And I was talking yesterday, what would we do if we lost the internet? I think it has maybe become a bigger problem than the power, which is nuts to say, because after 9/11, there was a big concern that the power grids in the United States could be attacked and affected, and we could lose power. I'm not so sure that's our biggest worry. Now, of course, affecting our power would affect our internet and our computers, but if somebody actually got in and altered the internet, because obviously we did not lose power yesterday or today, and caused a glitch where people could not get to their favorite sites or text people or do what needs to be done, people are really at a loss. And this was a big story this morning, that all these websites went down yesterday. And you really have no control over it. That's one of the biggest problems with it. You know, when your electric goes out, you can have generators, you can have flashlights, you can go get ice from a store. You can do that kind of stuff to kind of get by with what you need to get by with. But your internet, when it's down, if it's coming from the source, there's nothing you can do. You cannot fix that. It's kind of like cars. Do you remember when cars used to be able to be worked on? You know, when you were driving your old car down the road, if something happened, you knew what it was. If you looked under the hood, you could see that a hose was off. You could see that a radiator was busted. You could see those things going on. And you could fix them in a lot of cases. And a lot of people could fix them very easily. But now, with so many cars being run by computers and things of that nature, a lot of times even jumping somebody else's car will cause a malfunction in your car electronically. So you can't do it anymore. And the same thing applies to the internet. It's just one of those things we rely on. We've done away with pens and pencils and paper and letters and things of that nature. It's all done in email and messenger and text message. It's and I'm not sure this is going to work, and I think one of the biggest problems we are going to see as time goes on is that we're going to have no record of anything. You know, we still find letters from people from 100, 200 years ago, and those letters are very important. They show us what the person was thinking. Look at our president here in Marion, President Harding. What have we learned from his letters and writings? He was a big letter writer. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the time he was writing to his mistresses, but he was a big letter writer, but we've learned so much from those letters. There was a whole book, The Harding Affair, written basically based on President Harding's letters to Carrie Phillips, his mistress. Well, if we don't have letters anymore, if everything's done in email, I don't know how that's all going to work with historians. Are historians going to be able to... You know, they say on the internet nothing ever goes away, that everything goes into a cloud, or there's some kind of trail of it. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if historians are going to be able to use that years from now to figure out everything that we could not figure out before. But the internet outage that we had here yesterday certainly caused a problem. And the internet outage that all these major, major companies, Spotify and CNN, suffered yesterday certainly caused a major problem for them. eBay, I think, was also one of them. But does anybody have any thoughts on this, the whole new internet age we're in, the texting age, and how it's nice, it's very, very nice, but when it goes down, we're kind of at a loss. And what are we going to do years from now? 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944. You know, this also applies to me when it comes to recipes. Do you remember when people actually had recipe boxes? And recipes were things that you kept a close guard on? They were family recipes or something you had come up with that was special, made something taste better. So you put it on an index card and you put it in a recipe box. Well, now, I think when people want a recipe, they just go to the internet and print it off. So I don't know. I think there's been some creativity lost there. You know... There are so many people wrapped up in everything that the internet can do, and it can do a lot of really nice things that make life a lot easier, but is easier always best? That's the question. Is easier always best? I don't know. I think that probably becomes a debatable subject as time goes on. So if anybody has anything to say, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. Something else I wanted to talk about this morning, our big anniversary, 7th anniversary of this station, comes up on Thursday, June the 10th, 2021. We started on June the 10th, 2014, and every year we have a get-together on this anniversary date. We will have one this Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. on this station. And my understanding is most of the people who do shows here, I think all at this point, I don't think anybody has said they're not coming, but all of the people who do shows on this station will be here Thursday night. This will be broadcast over the air from 7 to 9 p.m. We'll have Adam Lepp and Linda Sims, and I'll be here, and Sean Kraft will be here, and Terry Tackett, and we'll have Nate Redmond, and Pastor Whitaker, and Pastor Craig, and who else? Glenn Coble, I believe, will be here. So we'll have the whole kit and caboodle here on Thursday night, and that'll be a lot of fun. To list Angie Evers will be here, and there'll be some other guests as well. I believe Mary Ellen Withrow is coming on Thursday, And I believe Jeannie Evers is coming, from what I heard, with Angie, so that'll be good. And I believe that Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man, will be making another appearance with us, performing. That should be a lot of fun. And maybe some other special guests as the week goes along. We'll be able to announce that as we get closer to the date. But that's going to be a room full on Thursday. And we will celebrate the big anniversary, which I know will be fun for everybody involved. And it's just, it's fun to go back and reminisce. Now, yesterday, I put up a picture. We usually take a group picture during these anniversary shows. And last year was right at the beginning of the pandemic. You know, June 10th was right at the beginning of the pandemic in 2020. So a lot of people last year did not come to the anniversary program party because of things that were going on in the world. I know Glenn Coble did not come because of that, and I know Pastor Whitaker was very busy last year because of that, and Terry Tackett, I think, was missing last year because of that, and we did not have any music performances last year because of that. That'll all change this year. It'll be different, but I never put the picture up last year, and I can't remember why. This was. There was a group picture taken that we take every year, but I never put it up. And it was Adam Lepp and Mary Ellen Withrow and Nate Redman and myself and Mike Wilson and Jeff Ruth was in. I believe Jeff will be in this Thursday as well. Jeff Ruth was in the picture. And Linda Sims was in the picture, and of course Linda will be here this Thursday. But yesterday, for the first time, I put that picture up, and it got a lot of response on Facebook, which was nice, because it's nice to see how things change over time. You know, we have 365 days in between pictures, and we'll take another group shot on Thursday night. And it's fun. And it was fun to remember that party last year because it was scaled back to a certain degree. But that's the way it goes. All right, any thoughts on anything 30 minutes past the hour here, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We are just rolling along this morning. Anything on your mind, give me a buzz. You know, the conversation in town continues about the whole situation with the city auditor. Now, yesterday we talked about it on this program, but yesterday, to be honest with you, we were broadcasting on the internet, and a lot of people missed the show. So I'm going to bring up this point again, because there was a lot of talk about it over the weekend, and to be honest, there was a lot of talk about it yesterday with the people I was around, and it all has to do with these email scams that have been going around. And the best we can figure out is that the city auditor, somebody in his office, got an email saying it was from the mayor, and that the mayor wanted this person to take $2,000 of their own money and go buy gift cards for a raffle. This person did that and then came back and scratched the back of the gift cards off and sent pictures of them to the scam person. And then the scam person came back and asked for another $2,000, saying they were the mayor. And this time, they wanted him to, well, I guess the person did not have another $2,000 who worked in the auditor's office, and said, well, can you use the city credit card? Or I don't know if the person offered to use the city credit card. I don't know what happened, but the city credit card got used for another $2,000, and more gift cards were bought and sent to whoever this scam person was. And then come to find out it was a scam, So $4,000 had went to the scam person, found out that the email was not coming from the mayor at all. The person in this position ended up resigning over this, and then paying $2,000 of it back, which means this person is out $4,000, the initial $2,000 they spent, which they'll never get reimbursed for, and now the $2,000 that they've paid back to the city, which would have went on the city credit card. And it just leaves a lot of questions. And the question over the weekend from a lot of people who I talked to was, is this political or is there a problem in that office? And you know, my conversations with people are, everything these days, unfortunately, is somewhat political. There's no doubt about it. Democrats and Republicans, even on a local level, don't seem to agree quite like they used to. Now, I'm not saying they don't agree on anything, but they just don't agree like they used to. Now, so we'll say that's political. But we also have to look at this situation as a whole. And even if you like the auditor, it's just a little... The whole situation to me is just peculiar because I have some questions about the situation, as I'm sure a lot of people do. I'm not sure. Now, the mayor's office is three doors down from the auditor's. Now, when this email first came in asking for $2,000 in gift cards, the person posing to be the mayor, I would think at that person you might go to, or at that point you might go to the mayor, or you would email the mayor. I assume you have the email, the mayor's real email. I have the real email of the mayor. I would know if I got a false email from the mayor because I have the mayor's email. And I would think the people in the auditor's office would have the mayor's email. So the fact that that email came in from a different email, that's strange, that you wouldn't go down for that large amount of money, $2,000, and ask the mayor if he had sent this, that's strange to me. Number two, the fact that you did it twice, that's strange to me, without ever going to the mayor. And when somebody's three doors down, if you are buying gift cards for a raffle, why wouldn't you just take the gift cards down to him if you believed that's where they were going? Why would you scratch them and photocopy them and email them? That's a little peculiar. And then, finally, in this whole thing did the auditor know anything? Because does anybody in the auditor's office just have email to, or have access to the city credit card that they can just go down and buy $2,000 in gift cards without the auditor knowing? Is the credit card for the city just available in the auditor's office? I don't know. And here's the point in this. It's not to, you know, beat the auditor over the head or anything. It's just some questions I think that citizens of Marion should probably know, because this is the city's money. And I do understand there are people who like the auditor. I have nothing against the auditor. And as a matter of fact, I don't even live in the city. So this is really not a huge issue to me, but I would think people who live in the city might have a question about this. And it leads me back to the bigger point that I don't understand in the world we live in, is that why is everything so Republican and Democrat? It doesn't matter anymore if the person's doing the job right or not. It's what party they're from. If you're a Democrat, you don't like the auditor. If you're a Republican, you think the auditor's doing great. Why can't we just take the facts of what has happened with this email scam or the $1.28 million and say, okay, is this normal? We have had auditors in Marion City for a long, long time. Are these normal circumstances? And go off of that and say, okay, is this normal? I don't know, but we don't do that. We look at, did we vote for the person? If we voted for them, they're doing a great job. If we didn't vote for them, they're doing an awful job. It's strange how that has become the idea. That's become the way we live now. I don't know. What's your opinion out there? Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All I can tell you is that this email thing is one of the strangest stories I've ever heard in city or county government in my years of covering Marion politics. I just have, that's, you know, the $1.28 million, that's different. It's a different type of a story. But this email thing is one of the most confusing situations I have ever heard. And the thing of it is I know, because somebody sent me the email last week, this was an email that was going around a lot of places, not just the city, where scam emails were coming from the bosses or the heads of businesses and saying, go buy $2,000 in gift cards. And I don't think a lot of people fell for this. Well, I know the person who sent me the copy of the email, which is not anybody who works for the city, they did not fall for this because they said, there's no way my boss would do that. So, I just don't know what happened here. And again, one of the bigger pictures of this is, we live in a world where there are scam emails. We live in a world where this sort of thing goes on. And it's unfortunate that this sort of thing goes on. That the internet can be used for outright scams. And who knows what happened to this $4,000? This person who took this money could be in a different country by now. I don't know. Anybody have any thoughts on any of this or anything else? Give me a buzz this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. I would love to hear your opinions on this and see what's on your mind this morning. On this Tuesday here at WWGH Radio. I'll tell you what, it is a, you know, yesterday was very humid. You know, I like, the heat's okay. I can deal with the heat, and I can deal with the rain, but the humidity was just awful yesterday. You could cut it with a knife. Not a big fan of the humidity. All right. Now, okay, we're going to take a phone call here and come back to all this. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I have, Scott, good morning. I have the same questions that you have, and one of the questions that I have is, if I was that person in the auditor's office and I get this email, and the first question I would have is, why am I spending $2,000 of my own money to get gift cards that the mayor needs? And I honestly think that I would either walk three doors down to the mayor's office to ask him about it, or I would go ask my boss, the auditor, what's going on here? Why am I buying these?
Well, that's a very strange part of this whole thing, is that I can't imagine anybody in any job. First of all, I don't know a lot of people who just have $2,000 laying around.
And, me too.
Yeah, and number two, I can't imagine anybody in any job, government or not, would think that they should go into their own pocket to spend that amount of money on something apparently that was supposed to be used for the city, I guess the way this scam email was worded.
Right, yeah, and I mean, from the other day when you first were talking about this, that was the first question I had, is like, I can't believe that, you know, a person would say, okay, I'll spend my money. That's the part I just can't figure out. There's no way I would spend my own money, whether I was working in government or working for a private company, without asking my boss, you know, why am I paying for this?
Well, that's another strange part of this, because it leads to the second part, is when they came back for another $2,000, this person obviously had access to the city credit card, which I would not think that just anybody working in an office would have access to, or that you wouldn't go to your boss, which in this case would have been the auditor, and said, hey, can I go do this?
Right, I agree. There're just so many things that just don't really make sense. You just kind of scratch your head.
Well, and you know what? I understand a lot of people like the auditor. He was elected, so obviously he got a majority of the votes. But I don't think people understand the reason this is a big deal. Now, the money's been paid back to the city. Now, I feel bad for that person who not only lost their job, but now is $4,000 in the hole. The thing of it is that what else could, if this could go on, because this is a pretty far out there story, if this could go on, what else could go on? That's why it's a big deal.
That is why it's a big deal, and it does make you really wonder. And you know, despite, as a lifelong Republican, despite the fact that everybody wants to make everything political, and Republicans want to say, you know, well, the Democrats are just, you know, causing problems, it's political. There's nothing political here. There are obvious problems in the auditor's office, and it has nothing to do with him being a Republican. There's just obvious problems. And it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. When there's problems in your office, it needs to be addressed.
Well, and that's another strange thing about this. And I have I've met Auditor Landon. We've never had a bad word. But I have invited him on this program, multiple times. And he has never accepted. Now, I don't want to speak for him as to why he's never accepted, but, you know, I don't know why that is. And when it comes to these city council meetings and so on and so forth, it just never seems like there's a whole lot of information given out of that office.
And that's not a good thing. You know, there again, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or whatever. When you're running city government, you have an office, you need to be as transparent as possible. Granted, you're handling money and things like that, but that's probably even more, all the more reason why you need to be forthcoming with information. You need to be transparent. I don't live in Marion, but you know, listening to everything that's been going on here recently, I mean, I've been very impressed with the mayor in Marion, and he's a Democrat and I'm a Republican, but I've just been impressed with what I've heard the mayor say and other things I've heard about the mayor from other people. And obviously everybody else or some other people need to be as forthcoming as the mayor is.
Well, and it's interesting because in this particular situation, I do think the mayor gets repped a little bit because he's a Democrat, the auditor's Republican. So the people who fall in the auditor's camp on this will say, well, the only reason the mayor is doing this is because he's a Democrat. But I have never got that impression because when he's been on this show, I really don't feel he's giving an opinion. I think he's saying what happened, and he wants more information.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he does. He sounds, he's very little of what he says sounds like it's an opinion. You know, he just states what he knows, what the facts are that he knows, and he'll kind of, a couple times I've heard him kind of give an opinion, but he's, you know, it's not political in any way.
Now, one thing I want to ask, because being a Republican, as you say you are, why do you think we are this way now? Because I know there are people listening this morning who are saying, why is he talking about that again? The money's been paid back to the auditor's office. He's a good guy, and all that. It seems to me matter now that it really is. Did you vote for the person? Do you like the person? And what party are they? It's not what's going on in the office.
I don't know. I mean, I'm 62 years old, and I think I'm kind of still kind of old school because I have been a Republican my entire life. But, you know, I am not a supporter of Governor DeWine. I voted for him, but I'm extremely disappointed in him. I was glad to see when Representative Steve Stivers, who is a Republican, stepped down from his seat to take a job. I was glad he left his office. I'm very disappointed in Steve Stivers as a Republican. So, I mean, I feel like I still am judging the person based on their performance, not on their party. But I think our society in general isn't like that anymore. I think it's a combination of things. We've become so polarized in so many different ways, and I think one of the roots of it is just a general breakdown of respect in our society. We don't have the respect for people in authority. We don't have the respect for police. We don't have the respect for CEOs. You know, we don't have respect for people in authority, and therefore it's easier just to draw lines and divisions, me against you.
Well, it is interesting that way. Now, what was the straw that broke the camel's back with Governor DeWine?
Well, I believe that most of what he did as far as handling COVID, I think he stepped over the line as far as, you know, what he could do constitutionally. I personally believe that he even overstepped his bounds, what he was allowed to do as a governor. And unfortunately, we had a House of Representatives and a Senate here in the state of Ohio that has really allowed a lot of their powers to be given away. And now they had, you know, this year they had to kind of backpedal and pass some legislation to rein in what a governor can do. But I just, and this is just my own personal feeling, and that's the problem I have with our governor, is I believe he went too far with the things that he imposed, and he also did it too without ever consulting the elected representatives in the state of Ohio. And I think, in all honesty, he should have, even if he was going to issue all the different thing regulations and things that he issued, I think he should have at least consulted with the elected legislative people.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting in that particular case because unless something major happens, I mean, he is an incumbent governor. He has been around a long time. I would guess that he will get the Republican nomination, even though somebody will run against him, I do believe. So when he goes up against the Democrat in November of 2022, the interesting thing is going to be, and I know a lot of Republicans who have said, well, I'll never vote for the Democrat, but I will never vote for DeWine, so I don't know if they'll stay home or they'll write a name in or what they'll do, but clearly that's going to hurt DeWine and probably elect the Democrat. So I don't know how that's all going to play. What would you, if DeWine is the candidate, how would you see that situation?
That's going to be a tough one because I know that he is going to have opposition in the primary, and I know I won't be voting for him in the primary. There's already one Republican who has announced he is running, and there's another one who's extremely close to announcing that he's running. And so if DeWine is the candidate, it's going to be a tough one. I honestly don't know what I'm going to do that day. It's too early to tell.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Well, hey, thank you for calling in, Pastor.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open. Now, those are two big city, or Ohio issues, I guess is what we should say. Governor DeWine and the auditor here in town, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Remember, if the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. But a lot of people are unhappy with Governor DeWine. I don't know if it's because we are at the end of the COVID restrictions that this is all starting to peel out. I mean, you would hear rumblings that the Republicans were not happy with Governor DeWine. But boy, in the last few weeks, we have really seen that amp up to the point where people have said, I will not vote for Governor DeWine for governor again. A lot of people who voted for him the first time around, just for how he handled the pandemic, which won him a lot of national praise from national media, but will it cost him a second term? I think we will all find that out as time goes on. And will that really be his Waterloo? It would be something if a Republican governor could not win his own primary, a sitting incumbent Republican governor. I don't know if that would happen or not. And with the auditor here in town, you know, I assume he will run for re-election. Maybe, maybe not. I haven't heard anything. But I believe he will be up for election. When will he be up for re-election? I think 2023? He'll be up for election. Trying to remember when he was elected. I know it's an off year. So I think it's 2023, but how will that all go? How will that all shake out in the end? Will people vote for him again? And you know, we're running it on the news, the whole idea of some of these charges possibly even being criminal. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning. I can't provide all the insight that Craig did, but I'll certainly try. It's going to be a bit like the presidential election, Scott. People are going to be voting against DeWine. And this DeWine also, he's just been around forever, and he's about the same age as Trump. So we have the issue of his age, even though he's very spry. We don't see really any possible mental conditions like, you know, even Trump supporters would certainly attest to. But his handling has been horrendous. And he's alienated people on both sides, and just allowing the health department to dictate policy. And now with some of the revelations that have come out of late, it's getting even more complicated. So you're right in that we might just default to maybe a surprisingly left-leaning victor, because people just don't want to put in DeWine. And will the two Republican primary candidates, Blystone and Renacci, will they have enough support to win the primary? It's possible. I'm honestly thinking Renacci might be the winner, but who knows at this point. The presidential elections, both the last two, have been so surprising that it's you really have to take quite a gamble to think that you're going to predict who's going to win the election. It'll be one that's followed nationally, as Ohio set the pace for the COVID restrictions, and as it does in the presidential election. So we'll certainly be getting a lot of press, and that's good for the talk radio business. Lots of people focused on the area, and Marion being a city with a presidential legacy, that's going to put us further in the news, which to me is good.
Now, as far as
exposure is a good thing, and just like with Donald Trump, it caused people to be interested in American history and politics, whether or not they liked them. Myself included, I never used to be this interested in politics and history. I mean, knowing Ron or Dr. Feynman, whatever you call him, that certainly helped. But I've always been interested in presidential politics, certainly, and Trump really accelerated that. I don't see that changing for me or anybody else.
Now, what do you mean recent revelations?
The stuff about Fauci and the emails and connections with where COVID may have come from. That's kind of starting to come to a head at this point.
Now, we got a couple minutes here. Now, I haven't brought that up, but explain what your take on that is.
Because I don't know. I can't be put on the spot, Scott. I'm sorry. I don't know the entire situation. I don't have a lot of trust in Fauci. That's obvious from my social media posts. jokes aside, he has little credibility with me. I mean, that's something that I post publicly to the world, so there's no secrets there, and I'm certainly not alone in that opinion. But the origins of COVID, the flip-flopping on what people are recommending that a person do, basically relating to that, and that's certainly adding some oil and water, so to speak, to the mix, where, as Craig said, people just are on different sides. And as I see it, you make up your own decisions, and we look at the credibility of what politicians and medical people are saying. And this has certainly added some more spice to that mix, so to speak. But the exact occurrence, I can't give you much of a comment on, Scott, because I don't know everything. And it seems to change every day, too. So if we say one thing, it may be different the next day.
Well, I guess what I don't understand about these Fauci emails is he has never dictated policy. He has advised.
He's 80 years old. He's well-known. And his advisories and what he... his conjecture, what he is saying, is taken often very seriously by many parties, political and otherwise.
You know what the problem is I've been watching a lot about the Great Depression and Herbert Hoover lately. And what's fascinating to me is that, and this is just factual, anybody who wants to know about the Great Depression can go look it up. When man screwed up, and the stock market crashed, and people lost everything, and people were in breadlines, and there was no Social Security, and everything was a mess, everybody blamed the government for what they did. And it cost Herbert Hoover, who was a very popular man up until that point, his presidency to Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt came in and decided that I am going to institute things like Social Security and the New Deal and all these public works projects, and the Great Depression ended. And that's what I think that's what's going to be one of the legacies of this COVID. And I'm not saying Governor DeWine handled it right, but the federal government left it up to the states. Fauci could advise and the president advised, but no laws were ever made countrywide. Everything was left up to the
states. Face coverings on airplane flights and those things. Those are, I don't claim to be an expert in all of this, but those are national, I believe.
Well, I don't think that came until January, though. We were about 8 months in before that happened.
But it was part of the equation.
But I'm talking about in the beginning when people were dying at a massive rate. The federal government never instituted a national mask policy. They never told states what to do state to state. They never told any state to close. They never did anything like that. So everything was left up to governors. And what is interesting to me is, what was a governor to do? Because you can guarantee if the states had went downhill, because the unemployment was raising at a huge level, would the people have blamed them for that?
Well, they probably would have. Ohio set the states, as it seemed to do in the presidential election. As you can see, what Ohio does seems to mirror what other states do. South Dakota, the only state where there were no regulations made, just advisories, but it's the same advisory you'd make for many things. No, you shouldn't go to a bar if you have respiratory symptoms or some other illness that affects your ability to function at that location or possibly could be spread to others. So again, South Dakota and Ohio, though geographically aren't too far or different in terms of population, Ohio having many major cities, South Dakota, not as many, more spread out. And governors that might seem a little similar, which is kind of the irony, as we've talked about, DeWine is known as a conservative Republican, but he seems to have acted more to the left in this instance, whereas the South Dakota governor, she's a conservative Republican. And which one is more conservative? Well, you could debate that. That's why I've always said this is a nonpartisan issue. And as an independent, Scott, I generally will say something as a nonpartisan issue unless I know otherwise. But there are things that certainly aren't. But in this case, I believe that it is.
Well, and we're
even though in general, in Michigan, the more liberal governors have instituted stronger restrictions. But there are some inconsistencies. And the whole thing is in a fascinating sociological study.
And we,
anytime something happens, be it good or bad, we try to learn something, and we've learned plenty from this, and it's something that will be in history books for a long time, and you know, hindsight is 20/20.
And we're going to go to break. Thanks, Adam.
Okay, bye-bye.
0.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. Streaming live on the net at www.wwgh1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching www.